الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue reading من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد. The explanation of كتاب التوحيد by our beloved Shaykh الدكتور صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله. Are we still on the chapter number 6? تفسير باب تفسير التوحيد وشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. An explanation of توحيد and the testimony of لا إله إلا الله. In the previous class, we read to you the explanation of the ayah 57 of Surah Al-Isra, as that was the first proof that the Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala has brought in this chapter. And also the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Zukhruf. Likewise, the ayah 31 of Surah Al-Tawbah. Now is the ayah 165. In Surah Al-Baqarah. page 66 in the Arabic. قال وقوله تعالى ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب. So the next evidence is the ayah 165 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And of mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah, as rivals to Allah. They love them as they love Allah, but those who believe love Allah more than anything else. The Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafidhahu Allah ta'ala, in the general explanation of this verse, he says, ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى حال المشركين به في الدنيا ومآلهم في الآخرة حيث جعلوا لله أمثالا ونظراء ساووهم به في المحبة ساووهم به المحبة. Here the Shaykh says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning this ayah, the position of the mushrikeen. Those who actually associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, in this life, and what is their abode in the hereafter? What is their ending in the hereafter? Since they ascribe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rivals and equals, and they love them as they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, when he explained the wordings, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ قَالْ يُسَوُّونَهُمْ بِهِ فِي الْمَحَبَّ الْمُقْتَدِيَ لِلذُّلِّ الْمَحْبُوبُ الْخُضُوعِ لَهُ. This is a different love, the way of love. These are people, they love idols and other objects of worship with humility. They humble themselves to them. And that should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-hub aw al-mahabba al-muqtadiya lil-dhul lil-mahbub wal-khudu'i lahu. The love that consists of a person who humbled themselves and submit completely to the one they love. That should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the ulama, they mentioned that love is of different types. Hub tabi'i, it is a love, natural love that a person have for his parents, has for his siblings and children and the like. But this one here that combined with humility, with total submission and submissiveness, that should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم ذكر سبحانه وتعالى حال المؤمنين الموحدين أنهم يحبون الله حبا يفوق حب أصحاب الأنداد لأندادهم أو يفوق حب أصحاب الأنداد لله. Then in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the believers, the muwahideen, those who are upon tawheed, they fulfill the tawheed, that they love Allah in a manner and in a way that is above the love that the polytheists they have for their idols. Or the love that the polytheists have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because certain people, they worship Allah and they worship beside Him other objects of worship. قال لأن حب المؤمنين لله خالص. He said the difference is that the love of the believers for Allah, the believers' love in Allah is pure. It's purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وحب أصحاب الأنداد لله مشترك. As for those who associate others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, so they mix their love for Allah with the love for those objects of worship that they worship. ثم توعد هؤلاء المشركين به بأنهم لو علموا ما يعاينون يوم القيامة وما يحل بهم من الأمر الفظيع والعذاب الشديد على شركهم وتفرد الله سبحانه بالقدرة والغلبة دون أندادهم لانتهوا عما هم فيه من الضلال لكنهم لم يتصوروا ذلك ويؤمنوا به. Then in the same ayah, the Shaykh says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his threat and his severe punishment for this that he has prepared for these polytheists, the mushrikeen. And if they only know what waiting for them on the day of a judgment, and that the severe punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for such people because of this shirk, not because of who they are, because of the shirk that they were upon. That's the greatest dhulm. That's the greatest oppression, dhulm, shirk. And especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, He's the only judge, the only king. In this dunya, yes, people, they go, you tell them worship Allah, they says now they have somebody else to worship. You tell them, listen, you remind them of the might of Allah, they're like, we're strong too, we got some man behind our back. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, nobody help anybody. There's no authority, there's no might, no power except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now on the day of judgment, they will see that those people they used to rally behind and worship and think that they're going to help them, it's all vanished on the day of judgment. It's all gone. But if they really perceive and they think about this carefully, they will they will save themselves from his guidance. And they will cease to set up rivals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. The Shaykh says, لَكِنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَتَصَوَّرُوا ذَلِكَ وَيُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ. But their problem, these people, they didn't understand this. They didn't perceive it and they didn't believe in the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one, the only true God that deserves to be worshipped. مناسبة الباب أو الآية لكتاب التوحيد لهذا الباب. Now the Shaykh, we're going to read to you the relevance of this verse to كتاب التوحيد, to this باب, to this chapter actually. In another way, why Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى chose this ayah as a proof from his proofs in this chapter. قال لأنها من النصوص المبني مبينة لتفسير التوحيد وشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. He says, because this is an ayah from the other texts, the other ayats, that explains clearly the tawheed and explains clearly the testimony of La ilaha illallah. حيث دلت على أن من اتخذ ندا مع الله يحبه كمحبة الله فقد أشرك. Since this ayah is a proof that as for anyone who sets up rivals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving their objects as one should love Allah, that person has committed shirk. By doing this, that person has committed shirk. That is shirk. فَعُلِمَ أَنَّ مَعْنَى التَّوْحِيدِ أَنْ يُفْرَدَ الرَّبُّ بِهَذِهِ الْمَحَبَّةِ الَّتِي تَسْتَلْزِمُ إِخْلَاصَ الْعِبَادَةِ لَهُ وَحْدَهُ وَالذُّلَّ وَالْخُضُوعَ لَهُ وَحْدَهُ. So from this, since loving others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that manner that is mentioned in the ayah and the Shaykh has mentioned, it is shirk, wal'iyadu billah. So therefore, based on that, from the meaning of tawheed, this is kitab al-tawheed, from the meanings of al-tawheed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be singled out alone in this mahabbah. Loving with humility, with sincerity, with total submission, that's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, you love your mother because that's your mother. You love your father, that's your father. But you don't love them with total submission. Whatever they tell you to do, you do it. Okay? Now, if they command you with good, mashallah, and according to your ability. If they command you with evil, no, you don't obey them. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. You don't obey anyone if that obedience leads you to disobey the Creator. But when it comes to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no conditions, you don't just obey Allah in certain things and disobey Allah in others. Now we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with total submission. And our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be purely for Allah. And that's from ibadah, actions of worship. ما يستفاد من الآية. But before we go there, you understood this point here? You understood it clearly? So it is considered shirk to love someone in the same way that a servant should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? You love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility. You humble yourself. There are people who go to a grave, a dead person that is dead in a grave hundreds of years, and they humble themselves for that grave. They love the person in the grave. There is nothing wrong by loving a person in the grave. Is there something wrong with that? Is something wrong with loving somebody in the grave?
No,
there's nothing wrong with that. Your mother died? No, she's in the grave. You love her, you still love your mother. We love the prophets and the messengers, alayhimu salatu wassalam, but they are in their graves. We love the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim. They are in their graves. We love the tabi'een from Ahlul Ilm and the ulama. We love our parents if they died. They are in their graves. But to go there and humble yourself to that grave, get on your knees, like you do in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's shirk. See, that's the difference. ما يستفاد من الآية. Once again, we go back to the same point of the grave, because in some Muslim countries, there are people who pray. People, they pray, they fast Ramadan, but they go to those graves and humble themselves, get on their knees, and show their love for them. So this is very important for us to understand. Barakallahu feekum. من الفوائد أولا أن معنى التوحيد وشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله إفراد الله تعالى بالمحبة المقتدية للذل والخضوع. That is from the meaning of tawheed and the testimony of la ilaha illallah, because they go together. That Allah should be singled out in mahabba. That mahabba, that love, that consists of a person humbling himself and submitting willingly to Allah and completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's only for Allah. You don't humble yourself with humility and with total submission and compliance except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except for Allah. Number two, أن المشركين يحبون الله حبا عظيما ولم يدخلهم في الإسلام ولم يدخلهم ذلك في الإسلام لأنهم أشركوا معه غيره فيها. Also this ayah, the Shaykh says, tells us about the mushrikeen, the polytheists, that they loved Allah, a great love, still didn't enter them into the fold of Islam. Why was the reason? Because they set rivals with him in this mahabba. Okay? This love that is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this love. Number three, أن الشرك ظلم. That shirk is ظلم. Because Allah says, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنِ أَشْرَكُوا. So shirk is ظلم. And also in the ayah, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَا ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Surah Luqman. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَا ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is the greatest of all oppression and ظلم. Number four, الْوَعِيدُ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Likewise, this ayah contains the severe threat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the polytheists in the Day of Judgment. وفي الصحيح قال الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله وفي الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي في صحيح مسلم قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله أي في صحيح مسلم وفي الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال من قال لا إله إلا الله وكفر بما يعبد من دون الله حرم ماله ودمه وحسابه على الله عز وجل. Then Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Rahab rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and in Sahih Muslim, He says, and in the Sahih, but that is Sahih Muslim. It is reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says La ilaha illallah, there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and made a denial of everything which the people worship besides Allah, that person's property and blood become inviolable, sacred, and his affair rests with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His affair is with Allah. قال حرم ماله ودمه. Sheikh explained that a person who says La ilaha illallah and disbelieve in everything else that is worshipped beside Allah, his wealth and his blood become inviolable, meaning it's not permissible to take his wealth nor to fight such person based on what is apparent from them, because they say La ilaha illallah, they believe in Allah. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث. The general explanation of this and general meaning of this hadith. يبين صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الحديث أنه لا يحرم قتل الإنسان وأخذ ماله إلا بمجموع أمرين. In this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says that two things together make a person's blood and wealth sacred and inviolable. Al-awwal qawlu la ilaha illallah. Saying la ilaha illallah. Al-thani al-kufru bima yu'badu min dunillah. To disbelieve in anything that is worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not enough for a person to just say La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, but then they commit shirk. As Shaykh al-Albani, Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, there are many Muslims these days, he says, that they say La ilaha illallah. Some of them even in Muaddin call the Adhan 5 times a day, Ashhadu an La ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an La ilaha. But then they commit shirk, they negate that statement by actions that are not from the meaning of La ilaha illallah, by making dua for others than Allah, instead to call upon Allah, instead to say Ya Allah, O Allah. Now they say, O so and so, Madad, Madad, Ya Rasulallah, Ya Jilani, Ya Malaika. Dua ibadah. Dua is worship. And we have qa'idah, a principle, and ibadah kulluha lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ibadah should be performed for Allah alone. Not like 90% for Allah and 10% for the jinn or 10% for an angel. La. Likewise, isti'ana, isti'gatha, rahba, raghba, khawf, inaba, tawakkul, khashya, al-dhabh, nadhr. All of these actions of slow sacrificing. There are some people, they pray and everything, but they still sacrifice for the jinn. Shirk akbar. People, they pray, mashallah, in a masjid. Some, yeah, it's amazing, some even memorize the whole Quran. And then they go to the grave and, oh, so and so, give me, help me. Obviously, these people didn't understand what they read. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, it's amazing that you find people who pray and they say they're Muslims and fast, read the Quran, and they didn't understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet ﷺ who refused to say La ilaha illallah, they know what it means. They don't worship Allah, they don't pray. They refuse to submit to the message of the Muhammad ﷺ, but they know truly what La ilaha illallah means. That's why they didn't accept Islam, because they know for them to accept La ilaha illallah, they have to give up all other idols. And this is something they didn't want to do. Because then they worshipped Allah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. That's Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And when they are in ocean or in the water, and it gets very hard on them, and they are in difficulty, they don't call upon Hubal, Manat, they call upon Allah. That's dua, that's an act of worship. So they refuse to say it because they know what it means. Now you find the mutaakhirin, yes, they pray, they fast, they come to the masjid, but then mashallah, they devote some actions of worship for other than that are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ahdi ibadaka ya rabbil alameen. Ask Allah to guide His servants. Allahumma ahdina wa saddidna wa thabbitna ala tawheed. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to keep us firm upon tawheed. So the Shaykh said, if these two things are fulfilled in a person, he said, you leave him alone. And whatever is in their heart, that's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody, he worship Allah and believe in Allah and don't associate with him other partners in worship, that person, you leave him alone. Because now, that person show you that he worship Allah alone. How you know? Because he doesn't worship others beside Allah. So now you have no reason to try, no, I don't know if he mean it, if he don't mean it. No, that's the intention, that's the actions of the heart, that's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الشيخ فإن كان صادقا في قلبه جزاه بجنة النعيم. Now if that person is truthful in what he shows to the people, meaning that which in his heart match what the actions that the person display in front of others, Allah will reward him with the paradise. Okay. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا عَذَّبَهُ الْعَذَبَ الْأَلِيمِ. He said, but if that person is a hypocrite, because he display Islam and Tawheed in front of others, but in his heart there is shirk وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, hatred for, and the like, then that person, Allah has prepared for them the most severe punishment وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. قال وأما في الدنيا فالحكم على الظاهر. As in this dunya, people are judged according to what they display in front of others. If somebody says he's Muslim, who say no, you're not, you're a Christian. Hey, the man says he's Muslim and he says La ilaha illallah and he pray and he fasts in Ramadan. Now he's just doing it for what? Now people, they should, this the Shaykh, this is very important. And this is qa'idah actually, this is one of the principles of the qawa'id. Al-hukmu lil-dhahir, al-dhahir. You judge according to what's apparent to you. We're not commanded to check in the hearts, and we can't. How would you know? If a person said something, mashallah, we go with that. حَتَّى يَظْهَرَ خِلَافُهُ. Until the people are treated like that, until they show you the opposite. Until they show you the opposite. مناسبة الحديث للباب. Now we mentioned the relevance of this hadith to this chapter. Meaning, as we mentioned always, often actually, why Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله have this hadith as among the proofs in this chapter. قال أنه من أعظم ما يبين معنى لا إله إلا الله وأنه الكفر بكل ما يعبد من دون الله. He says because this hadith is one of the greatest proofs that explain the meaning of لا إله إلا الله, which is to disbelieve in anything else that is worshipped beside Allah. Okay, that's the meaning of لا إله إلا الله. To disbelieve in anything else that is worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, it's not enough for a person to just recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a Christian, for example, come, your family member, your friend, your somebody, the co-worker, colleague, neighbor, sometimes your family member, it could be a parent or a child or the like, they say, listen, man, you're right. That book you gave me, or that CD you allow me to listen to, the Jumu'ah you took me and I listened. Thank you, the chair was comfortable, by the way. Thank you guys for the coffee and the donut. Because, tuhsinu ilayhim. You want to talk to somebody about Islam, but you're going to, it's all come together, not just talk. But you're going to show them the manners of Islam, the generosity of Islam. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ was very generous. He used to give. So now and then that person said to you, you're right, man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Lord. You know? But then he says, yeah, mashallah. Allah is God and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm gonna pray like you guys when Ramadan comes, gonna fast. But he still say Jesus, the Lord, and call upon Jesus and his mother. No. Can't do this. Okay? Can't have a partnership. You gotta worship Allah alone. Worshipping Allah and worshipping others beside Him, that's shirk. Okay? Is it clear? No. Somebody work for McDonald's, but one day he came with a McDonald t-shirt, tomorrow Burger King t-shirt. Who is he working for, who now? Huh? Who are you working for? Now then when the manager or supervisor say, hey, excuse me, what you doing, man? Oh, I'm doing the order. Hold on. He says, wait a minute, man. I'm not talking about the order, man. T-shirt, man, Burger King. He's like, well, I got the other one under it, see? He's like, no, man, I can't do this. You can't mix them. Can't mix both. Choose which one. What do you know? You want to be with us? You want to be with them? Of course, in this dunya, you're going to choose. You want to work for McDonald's or Burger King. But can somebody choose whether, do we have really choice whether to worship Allah or worship other Allah? No, we don't. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him. We should thank Him very much all time for guiding us to this ni'mah. To be guided to the tawheed and to worship Allah. It is not because of us, what country we come from, scales, our intellect. There is more people, man, they have more money than us. When you look, they have more position, power. Maybe they have, subhanAllah, Allah give them some beautiful intellect, man. Look, they come up with some inventions, akhi. That me personally, I have problems, even manage to follow the what do you call them?
Instruction manual.
The instruction manual, man. But people, they come up with us that. But subhanAllah, if they don't, Allah guide them to this dunya, gave it to them, but what is the akhirah? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for this ni'mah. ما يستفاد من الحديث. What is some of the benefits of this hadith? Number one, أن معنى لا إله إلا الله هو الكفر بما يعبد من دون الله من الأصنام والقبور وغيرها. That the meaning of لا إله إلا الله, from the meaning of لا إله إلا الله, that a person should disbelieve. It's not an option. It's not whether or not. It's not recommended. It is not highly recommended. No, you got to. It's wajib, as obligatory. No option in this one to disbelieve completely and totally in anything and everything that is being worshipped beside Allah. Whether those things are idols, statues, graves, people in the graves, etc. Number two, أن مجرد التلفظ بلا إله إلا الله ما عدم الكفر بما يعبد من دون الله لا يحرم الدم والمال ولو عرف معناها وعمل بها ما لم يضف إلى ذلك الكفر بما يعبد من دون الله. Likewise, Sheikh says, just saying لا إله إلا الله without disbelieving in anything else that has been worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make someone's blood and wealth sacred. And this is in the jihad, in the fighting. This is not like somebody going and kill somebody in the street or take his property. It's not from Islam. This doesn't mean that somebody like, oh, this person say la ilaha illallah, but he still worship others but Allah. Oh, this is my car now. No, this is not what it is mean. This is not the meaning of one. Alright? The meaning in the battlefield. Those who they say la ilaha illallah and then that's what it is. As for your neighbor, he's a Christian, he has a rights over you. And you gotta respect them. In a man that has been a neighbor, you don't respect their shirk. Not for the shirk they are upon, but as a neighbor, because you're commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his honor is sacred with you as a neighbor, and his property as well. It is not from Islam to oppress others or to wrong their properties. Okay? That's from the takfiris and the jihadis, they call themselves jihadis, but they far away from the meaning of jihad. Look at the name jihadis. They're doing it for jihad. They're not doing it for no jihad. They're doing it for wickedness. Jihad has rules, has regulations, has a noble purpose. Jihad was not legislated for the sake to kill people because they are not Arabs or they are not this or they are not that. The jihad was not legislated to take over people's children and women or wealth or lands. No, no. It was legislated against the tyrants who they prevent their people from learning about Allah the Creator. That's what it is. Okay? Number three, أن من أتى بالتوحيد والتزم شرائعه ظاهرا وجب الكف عنه حتى يتبين منه ما يخالف ذلك. It's very important benefits, all of them. That if someone displayed the tawheed, okay, he says that there is no true God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he practiced those ibadat, like salat. He prays with the people. He fasts. MashaAllah. Then you got to leave him alone. The Shaykh says, you accept that from that person. He's a Muslim with you until you see something that negates that. حتى يتبين منهما يخالف. Until something clearly in that person that may negate that. And this is for the ulama. And for those students of knowledge who they know what negate Islam and what's not, it's not for anybody to get involved with this. Why? Because it's a very serious matter. Because it's not for anybody to just say, no, he's not a Muslim. Akhi, he says, la ilaha illallah, I don't mean. Akhi, he just prayed Asr with us. He fasted. Akhi, he just gave sadaqah. Akhi, doesn't mean. He made hajj with us 3 years ago. That means nothing. What do you mean? Who are you to say it means nothing? لا. That's for the ulama. They are the one that they see things in a person and they talk to them first. They explain to them because somebody may not know. They explain to them. Alhamdulillah, if they accept it, that's a good thing. But if they don't, they try again with them. It's like a doctor, yeah. The ulama, they are the doctors of this da'wah. The doctor, he doesn't just look at a person and say, man, he's going to die, man. Leave him alone. He didn't even put a hand on him. No x-rays, no blood tests, nothing. Just by looking at a person, came to him and said, man, this guy, nothing going to work for him. He's out. Get him out of my office. Now, you would think there's something wrong with that doctor. But usually, the doctors, what they do? They take your pulse, your what else? your temperature, urine tests, blood tests, x-rays sometimes, whatever. So many tests. Some people, they stay in, they keep them in for a couple of weeks. Only so because they have so many tests. And those tests, they have to be, you know, analyzed. That doctor, sometimes he called other doctors. His teachers maybe, his colleagues, what do you think? What is this? I don't know. They want to know what's wrong with the person first. Because the parts of giving the proper medicine and prescription, you have to know the what's wrong, where wrong. And this is also in mechanic. A mechanic, you take him your car, and he's, don't you see, he's like, okay. But then later on, he tell you, oh yeah, it's a water pump. But when you just took the car, he told you, it could be the water pump, it could be what? I'm not a mechanic. Something close. I'm not going to say flat tire, man. They don't go together. You know what I'm saying? Okay, it could be water pump or what?
Thermostat, radiator.
Thermostat, what else?
Alternator.
I was going to say that one, but see, I'm not a mechanic.
Deal with the water.
See what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. It has nothing to do with the water, man. Anyway, so this mechanic, he will tell you stuff that close. Now, you see this problem right there, because the car is cutting off, man. You're trying to push some, pump some gas, but ain't going nowhere. All right? He'll tell you, listen, it could be this or this or this. Now, how does he know? They have things. Everybody has tools. He put it through the engine, put the engine through a test or whatever. What do you call those tests?
Diagnostics.
See? MashaAllah, people know stuff. Alhamdulillah. Then he will tell you, listen, man, this, yes, it is this. Likewise, ikhwan. If you see somebody, you know, struggling with something and you really know what it is, you talk to them. Like the doctor talk. Doctor doesn't slap somebody. Why are you going this? Smack. Huh? Yeah, don't you know you're not supposed to be there? Come on, man. That's not a doctor. Not a doctor is nice. He's like, don't worry about it, man. We all make mistakes. I say, okay, I get you. I got you. I'm going to give you this nice prescription. Of course, a doctor, Muslim doctor who believe in Allah and Pantawahid, he says, listen, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, this medicine will help you. Not like the kuffar. This will work. You know what I'm saying? If it doesn't work, I lose my license. So why do you want to take that chance? No, the Muslim doctor, he will say, mashallah, you know, the cure is with Allah. But inshallah, this will work. Some Muslims who don't understand Tawheed, when they go to a Muslim like this, they're like, no, don't take that. He tell you, inshallah. So he's not sure. If he was sure, he would tell you, this will work. Go to the Jew doctor, man. He knows what he's doing. This man telling you, inshallah, because certain people, they think, inshallah, for them is like, if you're not sure. Since when you're sure and certain that everything's going to happen tomorrow the way you want? No, inshallah, because Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Don't say to anything that you're about to do tomorrow, I'm doing this. No, he says, yes, I'm doing this if Allah wills. طيب. So likewise, we benefit from this, that we be kind with one another, we be nice. If you see somebody doing something that is not from the Sunnah, but before you talk to that person, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimah ta'ala, he should know that he's not from the Sunnah. So keep in mind, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, Muhammad Salih Uthaymeen, rahimah ta'ala, he says, this is one of the mistakes that certain people fall into. Just because somebody is doing something that he's not doing, he thinks he's automatically he's wrong. You could be wrong, he says. The only way that person may be wrong, if you know that this is not from the deen, because there is no proof. And sometimes there is one act of ibadah, it is performed in different ways. The Prophet ﷺ used to make a different dua. In the opening dua in for the deceased, in Salat al-Janazah. Just because you hear somebody next to you making another dua, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, mubtadi' akhi, that's a bid'ah. Bid'ah, why? Oh, because you were not saying what I was saying. Then he's going to say, this is Sahih Muslim, man. We're not going to bid'ah. This is Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, the Sahaba said. And what are you going to do now? Man, you go, oh, All right, I'm sorry. Sorry for who? Before you talk, this is leave this for the, we got to do it the right way. If you see somebody doing something, ask them, Akhi, subhanAllah, I don't know, I don't do it this way. May I do it this way? Because we have a hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith Sahih Muslim, Sahih Abu Dawood. But you, brother, I see you doing it this way. You have a hadith, this is a sunnah. If that person is from the sunnah, he says, Naam, ya akhi, zakallah khair. Yes, both of us, we are right, because this is different way the Prophet ﷺ did it. But if he don't know, he's going to tell you, Akhi, I just don't know. I just follow some people, man. My country, they do it this way. See? Then you tell him, now, Akhi, look, this is the deen of Allah. When it comes to food, mashallah, your country have this beautiful food, bring me a plate next time. I'm down with you. All right? You have different dialects, no problem. But when you come to the deen of Allah, there is only one deen. Yes, you have different foods, different tastes, different traditions, different dialects. But when you come to the deen of Allah, nobody say, listen, man, we're in this country, we do it this way, you do it this way. No, no, no. We're not talking about how to cook shrimps in here. All right, wrong. Just fish. How to bake fish? Southern way, northern way, west way, California way. Right, wrong. But when it comes to the deen, there's no such thing. We're on the west. We worship Allah in our way, the west way, west end way. Now the southeast way. No, it doesn't work like that. There's only one way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, from the ni'mah of Allah, that is preserved for us. All we have to do is to make some efforts and to learn it. Number five, أن الإنسان قد يقول لا إله إلا الله ولا يكفر بما يعبد من دون الله. That's what he says. Hey, number four. So you guys are weak, mashallah. وجوب الكف عن الكافر إذا دخل في الإسلام ولو في حال القتال حتى يتبين منه ما يخالف ذلك. You gotta leave the disbeliever alone if he enters into Islam, even while fighting them, unless if he made clear that person show that which negates his Islam. Okay? Number five, أن الإنسان قد يقول لا إله إلا الله ولا يكفر بما يعبد من دون الله. A person may say لا إله إلا الله, but still does not disbelieve in other things that is worshipped beside Allah. And this may happen usually when somebody takes shahada, his shahadatain actually, but they live, you know, they live in an environment of shirk. They believe in an environment of shirk, okay? And they don't know. So somebody may come to the masjid and take shahada, alhamdulillah, he pray with the brothers, on Friday after Jumu'ah, and he's happy, he came for Asr, Maghrib, Allahu Akbar, Saturday, Sunday, one of us saw him coming out of the church with the bow tie and Jesus, and, so what happened now? You gotta know there's something wrong with this brother. Now, what you gonna do? The phone and, this guy, beware of him. Now we have a spy in the masjid. What do you mean spy? The man don't know. No, you gotta talk to him. Come here. I saw you coming from the church. He said, we have a nice sermon, man. The rabbi, the priest gave a nice sermon. You let him talk. And then he said, come on, let's go get something to eat. You see? Take them, Akhi. Made him feel like, come on, let's go get something to eat, brother, mashallah. Come on, mashallah. So why are you eating? You tell him, no, look, mashallah, we were very happy that you entered to Islam. Alhamdulillah, this is a ni'mah from Allah, and this. But one thing, you can't Islam, Christianity, both, you can't. All right, you can't do both. You know, you moved from this state to another, you can't be in both. You can't have two licenses. You can't even have two licenses, right or wrong? You gotta give up one. Says, no back, no more church, man. That's kufr, that's disbelief. Nicely. Because that person doesn't know. Number six. أن الحكم في الدنيا على الظاهر وأما في الآخرة فعلى النيات والمقاصد. That in this life, in this dunya, you judge the people according to what they show to you. That's it. And in the Akhirah, the reward is about the intentions. Yes, somebody here may do things and everybody says, that's a good brother. He's always in the salat. He's always crying. It's a good thing. Alhamdulillah. He always giving sadaqah. But then you won't be amazed. Of course, you'd be amazed if that person stands in front of Allah and he's in a hellfire. People will like, subhanAllah, like the hadith of the man, the Prophet ﷺ says, there was a man in a hellfire that his intestines come out of his belly and he's going around like a donkey going around the grinder. This is an old-fashioned way. They have these big racks, the grinders. They put the grains in there and they are so heavy, so they have a donkey or a mule that is like, they turn it around, and as those the bottom one is does not move, okay, stable, and then the top one it moves. That's how they used to make flowers. Now it's all one button. And next, now before is to work hard. Women, they do it with their own hands. They have these little ones, grinders. My grandmother used to do it. Okay, so now. I was making a point, huh?
The hadith with the man.
The hadith, so the people, they see this man in the hellfire, that's how he's punished. And they said to him, they know, oh so and so, he used to command us with good and forbade us from evil. What happened to you? SubhanAllah. So he used to command us in the dunya with good. He used to always do this, do this. And he used to tell us, don't do this, stay away from this, from haram, from zina, from backbiting, from cheating, from slandering, from riba. He said to them, look at the answer. He says, yes, I used to command you with good and don't act upon it. And forbid you from evil and be the first one to fall into it. Allah salam al afiyah. Number seven, the last one, hurmatu mali al-muslimi. That the blood and the honor, the life and the wealth of the Muslims are sacred, unless if there is a right prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore you know certain people, subhanAllah, they get mad and then they shoot somebody, stab somebody, a'udhu billah. And they say, where is this from Islam? This is not from Islam. If you really want to, that person want to practice Islam, he get mad, he go and do something else. He stand in, he sits. That's from Islam. He's sitting and angry, lay down. And one of the mashayikh, he explained that, he says, look, if somebody get mad, and he's standing and sits, so that's weakened his power. You know? You want to strike somebody? Where? He's sitting, the man is up. And if he's sitting, he's laying down. What are you going to do? You're laying down. You know? So it's very important. Go make wudu. Don't say anything. Don't make no decision when you're mad. We're human. We get angry. Okay, we do get angry. We get mad sometimes. We're not happy all the time. But just don't make no decisions. Don't strike. Don't let that anger lead you to do something that is not pleasing to Allah. Now you get angry, no problem. Go somewhere else. Get a coffee. Get a juice. Go read some Quran. Say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Some people, they are mad and somebody remind them. Say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Say, you're the shaitan. Get away, man. Let me take care of this business. A'udhu Billahi. What business? Because that jahiliyyah, some of it still with them in their hearts. He's going to do it the old way, the old fashioned. It's not an oatmeal, man. Cooking some oatmeal, man, old fashioned. No, this is the real deal, man. This is Islam. You're going to enter into Islam with your heart. Now you pray, Asr Allah, Alhamdulillah, everything, your heart into the Salat. But then when somebody, like, you want to fight your Muslim over a parking spot, what happened to your Iman and Alhamdulillah and and taqwa in the salat, in the masjid, you were, everybody can pat that brother, alhamdulillah, hayyakallah, sazallah, barakallah fiqh. Somebody who don't know that brother came from another state, subhanallah, I want to be like him. Wait. Now he see him in the parking lot, want to fight somebody over a parking spot, this is no good, that's a contradiction. Don't you think so? Person contradicting himself. 10 minutes earlier, here's the example, I want to be like him. 10 minutes later, why this guy is here? Shouldn't even allowed to come here. See? No, we shouldn't be contradicting ourselves. In the morning, you're nice toward around the children, alhamdulillah. In the afternoon, he's yelling at their mother, threatening her, chasing her with whatever in his hand. Those kids, man, your children now, man, they're like, well, who's this guy? That's your father. Oh, our father was here in the morning. It's not our father. This is, so who's this guy? Contradiction. No, in Islam, we have to stay on the same path. Man, you're driving on the highway. Do you jump on the other lanes? Do you? You stay in your lane, man. I'm talking about like the opposite way. Huh? I'm talking about like on 285, right? People go from first lane to the left one. No, no, I'm talking about the opposite traffic. Hmm? Do you just go one side here? No, you don't. You stay where you want. You're going north, you don't be going south. No, you keep your bound. Likewise, the Akhwan, we're on a path. This Islam lead us to the Jannah. And how many paths are? One. So why would we be switching, man? If you switch, then you find yourself on something else. There is not two ways or three ways or shortcuts in this one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. May Allah grant us ikhlas. May Allah give us patience with one another. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from those people who, when they are corrected and in a nice way and in a right way, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our chest and our hearts to the criticism and to the nasiha and the advice, the sincere nasiha. Jazakum Allah khair and barakallahu feekum. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك